Our text is from 1 Corinthians. These words, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it seems common nowadays, it seems common for people to understand themselves, to describe themselves, to convey themselves as lacking. Lacking? Yes, lacking. As lacking what others have, not having what others possess. And it's this lack of what others possess that prevents them from being what they actually could be if they have what they felt they didn't have. Granted, there is some truth to that complaint, the constant refrain almost that a given individual lacks something. For everyone lacks something. Every single person on the face of this earth does not have something that others around him or her has. Sure, here we can immediately think of money, can't we? But there's also opportunity, and how about training or education? Family, circle of friends? Not everyone has all of those things, right? We take this matter further than that, don't we? That is when we think about what we lack and what we have missed in life or are missing in life because of that lack. Maybe it's the way we look, our appearance. We're not tall enough or we're too tall. Our weight isn't exactly what we want it to be. Our ratio for an athlete, a ratio of fast twitch to slow twitch muscles, is not what it could be. If only we had greater mental capacity, so the student thinks, or just a better disposition in general, maybe someone at the corporate office thinks. Talents, abilities, a few more would be nice. We could go on here, and we know we could, because all that it takes for us to think this way is to run into somebody else, another human being, another person, who seems to have it all together. All it takes for us is to run into such a person to start to think that we don't have it all together. And the reason that we don't have it all together is that we don't have. We lack what we need to actually gather together within ourselves that which we truly wish to be. Now, from a theological standpoint, what are we doing when we do such a thing? But coveting. Coveting what our neighbor has, all the stuff that our neighbor has, and all the relationships our neighbor has. And that just makes us feel miserable. Makes us feel miserable. For when we covet what another person has, it's just so obvious what we don't have. We lack and what we need. And going one step further, what are we concluding when we have such thoughts? When we go down that bunny trail of self-pity? Yes, what are we concluding when we tally up all the things are in our mind that we don't have, but that God is the one who gives such things, that God is not faithful. God's not faithful to us. For God is to blame for our lack, our lack of this, our lack of that, our lack of the other thing. But of course, we're not the first people to come to this conclusion, that is, that God is not faithful to us. Children of Israel wandering in the wilderness after having been freed from their slavery in Egypt by the mighty hand of God were very quick to start to think that they were, as they were walking towards the promised land through the wilderness, that God hadn't given them everything they needed for that journey. They were lacking in water, lacking in food. In fact, the children of Israel went so far as to come to the conclusion that it would have been better for them if they could return to slavery in Egypt, for at least there in Egypt, as slaves, they did have meat to eat every single day. Now, we can have similar thoughts. That is, thoughts that lead us to think that it's better to take matters into our own hands and live a life of slavery to sin That is, live in a life situation which is not what God wants us to do, which is not God-pleasing, and we know it's not God-pleasing, but still, we do have food, we have a place to sleep, we've got a nice cell phone, and an Amazon Prime subscription. I mean, sure, we are not living as God wants us to live, but we acquired for ourselves what we were lacking. Thank you very much, God. Of course, in the wilderness, the children of Israel had no other choice but either to rebel against Moses, and so God, which they did, or cry out to Moses to talk to God for them, which they also did, to somehow fill the lack they were experiencing. Now, the question is for us this morning, the question for us is whether we, in fact, are lacking anything. Are we lacking anything that we need? That's the question. Now, toward the end of his life, David, the great king and poet of Israel, noted in Psalm 37, this is what he wrote. I've been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. Now, this was David. David who faced down the giant Goliath with a slingshot and some stones. David, who King Saul tried to kill repeatedly with an entire army. David, whose son led a rebellion against him, forcing him to flee Jerusalem. David, who in all of these situations did not lack. But it's not as if David himself wasn't challenged by the circumstances of life, that David was not challenged by this question as to whether or not he lacked what he needed. So Psalm 43, where we read, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Now there in Psalm 43, we have an example of how we should think, of how we should respond when we too fall into the trap of thinking that somehow we lack something we need. That God is not faithful to us. At just such a point, we too should ask ourselves, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Or in other words, why am I thinking such a thing? Why am I thinking that I lack something that I need? Why? Why am I thinking that way? Well, because I'm letting the devil, I'm letting the world, my sinful flesh, get the best of me. I'm thinking that God has forsaken me. I'm thinking that God is not faithful to me and promising never to leave me or forsake me. Of course, when Jesus, our Savior from the devil, our Savior from the world, our Savior from our flesh, was in the wilderness fasting for 40 days, then was confronted by Satan. Yes, Jesus didn't consider himself to be forsaken by God. Not in the least. For what did Christ have and use at that point? But the very Word of God, the Word of God to fend off Satan. And that was really all that Christ needed. It's all he needed. We too, we have that same Word. That Word that we have read and we've heard and we've learned and inwardly digested, it hasn't been taken away from us. Indeed, the Word of God is overflowing among us with so many translations of the Bible available to us in English, apps on our phone, websites on our computers galore, all of which that put the Word of God at our fingertips. And that alone should demonstrate to us that we're not forsaken by God, that God is faithful to us, for He has and continues to provide for us His holy Word. Especially the gospel of forgiveness of sin, which is ours in Jesus Christ. The power of God for salvation for all those who believe. That's the way he himself describes it. And the way Jesus himself used it in the wilderness. So why are we cast down, thinking that we are forsaken by God? Because we have forgotten that we have his very word, which is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, the sword of the very Holy Spirit of God. Everything else is secondary. For without the Word of God, without the gospel of Jesus Christ, no one can be righteous. No one can be holy. No one can be forgiven, for there would be no gospel to believe and no spirit to inspire in faith. Yet, wherever the gospel is, there we find the holy and righteous people of God. Holy and righteous who are never forsaken, and their children are never begging for bread. Now, I've pointed out many times how God is faithful to us, how he has created us, and or how if he has created us and redeemed us through the suffering and death of his Son, if God has sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts, if he provides comfort and assurance by that Spirit, but also love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, if God, who is faithful, has done all of these things for us and continues to work within us constantly, how could we even dare to think, even to think that we are lacking, that we don't have what we need to support this body and life? I mean, think of the utter self-centered, narcissistic, and arrogant behavior on our part even to entertain such a thought. Here, we can think comically of Thanksgiving's past, when our tables in our homes have been simply packed with all types of food, and the counters in the kitchens are filled with food, and the oven is full of food being kept warm, and the refrigerator jammed with food being kept cool. And there's always, so it seems, there's always one person that comes in and takes it all in and looks at all the food and the ingredients of which had to be purchased and then prepared in all sorts of different ways, sometimes days before Thanksgiving itself. Yes, there's always one person taking it all in and saying, "Is there anything to eat? Is there anything?" And when they sit down at the table, their plate then has one pickle, an olive, perhaps a bit of salad. I mean, we've all witnessed that. And we've all shaken our heads at what we're seeing, the utter ridiculousness of someone comprehending the feast that has been set before them, and yet that is exactly what we do when we even entertain the thought that somehow we do not have in our person, in our bodies, in our skills and abilities, our talents, our life situations, that is the people around us that comprise our families, something in Christ as Christians, as a holy of people of God that we need. That somehow we're lacking, that we don't have what we need. Yes, it's true. Every one of us is in different situations and context. And yet, every one of us lacks nothing. For God is faithful, by whom we were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, it is David's son, King David's son Solomon, who had the opportunity throughout his life to pursue all manners of entertainments and ambitions and dreams and experiences. Yes, it was King Solomon who sought throughout his life to acquire that which he thought he was lacking. And the discovery, the end result, that such a pursuit, that the pursuit of such things is what? Vanity. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity, we read in Ecclesiastes. That is, pursuit of narcissistic self-interests that in the end come to absolutely nothing. Why? Why? Because all that we need, we receive from God, our loving Heavenly Father, who demonstrates that he is, in fact, faithful to us by doing just that. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the creed.